You may be seated. Today's gospel lesson reads like a math word problem. Do you remember those? I mean, they always made me nervous as a child. I mean, give me multiplication tables to memorize any day of the week, but not a math word problem. If a man's brother dies, leaving a wife but no children, the man shall marry the widow and raise up children for his brother. Now there were seven brothers. The first married and died childless. The second and the third married her. So in the same way, all seven died childless. Finally, the woman also died. In the resurrection, whose wife will the woman be? For seven had married her. So let's see. Do we multiply or divide by seven? Do we need to take into account the rate of the speed of the resurrection in this math problem? The Sadducees, they did present this to Jesus as a word problem, but it wasn't the math that they were concerned with. They wanted to trap Jesus in an argument about the resurrection. Really, this whole chapter in Luke's gospel, the religious leaders, they're trying to trap Jesus with trick questions. You may remember the one at the beginning of the chapter. It was a question about money. They showed Jesus a coin with Caesar's image on it and said, well, who should we pay taxes to, God or Caesar? And so now they're trying to trick Jesus with a trick question that maybe has to do with whether or not there's going to be sex in heaven if there's a resurrection. Sex and money, those are always tricky topics. The Sadducees and the Pharisees, they always seem to be the bad guys in these stories, and they're always trying to trick Jesus. They're representatives, actually, of the religious establishment that opposed Jesus. And they were both scholars of the law. The Sadducees, however, were more fundamentalists about it. They only believed in the written law of Moses. The Pharisees, they were a little more progressive. You know, they believed in the written law, but then also in the oral interpretation of that law. The other thing that distinguished the Sadducees from the Pharisees was that the Pharisees believed in a resurrection of the righteous dead at the end of days. The Sadducees did not. And so I'll just make a footnote here that the concept of resurrection was something that was, I'm going to make a pun here, that was alive during the days of Jesus. So what was scandalous, really, about the Easter story was that God had raised Jesus from the dead. He was a crucified criminal. He didn't die a righteous death, according to Jewish law. And he was raised before the end of days. Well, so here's this argument, this trick question about the resurrection. And it's actually tied to a law that the Sadducees allude to that's called the Levirate Law. Because before the concept of the resurrection developed in later Judaism, the way a man was remembered or lived on was in his lineage, especially in the male children that he would father. And so this Levirate Law in Moses' day basically said that if a brother died childless, it was the responsibility of his other brother to take as property the childless wife, have sex with her, to raise up a son on behalf of that deceased brother. So this is the law that the Sadducees are trying to, you know, trick Jesus with. When the Sadducees approach Jesus with this story, they're really wanting to sort of show that the resurrection is a ridiculous idea. And so they take this law to its extreme. And I think also when they present this word problem to Jesus, They are assuming that conditions in heaven will be the same on earth. You know, whose wife is she going to be if there is a resurrection? Jesus. But in typical fashion, Jesus takes this conversation to a whole other level, a spiritual level. He says, those who belong to this age, they marry and are given in marriage, but those who are considered worthy of a place in that age and in the resurrection from the dead, neither marry nor are given in marriage. Indeed, they cannot die anymore. God is not a God of the dead, but of the living. And to God, they are all alive. I think Jesus' response speaks to the holy integration of sexuality and spirituality. A Catholic writer by the name of Ronald Rollheiser makes an interesting comparison with Jesus' response to the Sadducees and something that Janis Joplin said to a reporter. I tried to do my Janis Joplin voice at 9 o'clock, but it didn't work too well, so I'll just give you the quote. A reporter once asked Janis Joplin what it was like to be a rock star, and she replied, "It's pretty hard sometimes. You go out on stage and you make love to 15,000 people, and then you go home and sleep by yourself." And so Rollheiser says, you know, what Jesus is saying to the Sadducees and what Janis Joplin has said to this reporter, they're really not unconnected. He says, each of us, each of those responses in its own way says something about the all-embracing nature and intent of our sexuality. He says, Janis Joplin is saying that in our sexuality and in our creativity, we're ultimately trying to make love to everybody. And what Jesus is saying is not that we will be celibate in heaven, but rather than in heaven, we're going to get to do that. In heaven, we'll all be married to all. In heaven, unlike life here on earth, where that's not possible, our sexuality will finally be able to embrace everyone. You know, we talk a lot about sexuality and spirituality in Metropolitan Community Church. We've claimed that for the last 51 years, that it's part of our prophetic calling to really explore what is this integration, this holy integration of our sexuality and our spirituality. And I wonder if the conversation that Jesus has with the Sadducees might give us some clues about what that means or how to live that out. First of all, I think that the holy integration of our sexuality and spirituality is not a trick question. LGBTQ people, we know this in our bones. It's what's led us out of our closets to show up here at church today. People like the Sadducees, they want people to choose or try to force people to choose between their sexuality and their spirituality. And LGBTQ people in particular, the Sadducees want us to choose between our sexuality and our relationship to God. But Jesus has taken that conversation to a whole different level. Beyond legalism, beyond the quoting of certain scriptures, beyond legalism to our experience of God's love for us and who God has created us to be as God's LGBTQ children. That experience has overcome whatever homophobic interpretation and legalism of Scripture that has been used to condemn not only queer people, but people of color, women, all kinds of marginalized groups. We're not tricked into choosing between body and spirit. There's no dualism there. And that's kind of hard. That split is sort of hard to heal. It's hard to get away from. I mean, we inherited it from the Greeks. And Western Christianity has kept it alive in order to oppress women and also people of color, LGBTQ folks. Basically, that split says that the body is bad, matter, it's bad, it's got to be subdued, overcome. The spirit It's associated with reason. It's good. And so, consequently, marginalized people are often sexualized. And consequently, because that happens, the earth is also considered something to be subdued and dominated, and is also oppressed when we maintain that kind of split, that body-spirit split. But Jesus' words to the Sadducees, I believe, is a path to healing that split when he says to them, all are alive to God. And did you notice what he did for the woman in the story? He released her from being owned by anybody in the afterlife. She was able to step into eternity as a child of God and not as someone's property. The holy integration of sexuality and spirituality is about that kind of justice making. When the authorities want to challenge Jesus, they often use marginalized and powerless people to do that. You remember the woman caught in adultery? That story's in John's gospel. The Pharisees, they bring that woman to Jesus. They throw her at his feet. She's been caught in adultery. The law of Moses, there's that legalism, that quoting scripture again, says that we should stone her to death. Jesus takes that conversation to a whole new level and says, well, if any of you are without sin, then you can be the first one to cast the first stone. And they all leave. And he turns to the woman and says, where are the people who are condemning you? There's no one here to condemn you, and neither do I. The holy integration of sexuality and spirituality creates spaces where people's worth are not measured by their marriage status or their fertility or even their sex appeal. The holy integration of sexuality and spirituality creates a realm where anxiety-ridden views on sex and gender and race and sexuality, those are what die. And what rises to new life is the knowledge that all belong to God. All are children of God. Finally, the holy integration of sexuality and spirituality has a mystical dimension to it. Jesus' words to the Sadducees give us a glimpse of the mystical union that we all participate in as members of the body of Christ. Being a child of the resurrection means that we participate in the realm of heaven, the realm of God now, and we also long for that fuller participation in the age and the realm to come. And we make that realm a reality in this life by the way we treat one another. Brené Brown calls this connection, and she defines it as the energy that exists between people when they feel seen and heard and valued, when they can give and receive without judgment, and when they derive sustenance and strength from the relationship. And what she calls connection, I would call communion. Our sexuality, which includes not only our genital activity, but our desire, our affections, our intimacy, how we move through the world as body selves, incarnations of God, that's our sexuality. And it shows us that we're built to ultimately embrace the universe and everything in it. Our story today has echoes from last Sunday, which was All Saints. And I have to say, growing up Southern Baptist, I didn't know a whole lot about All Saints or the communion of the saints. But conversations like this one that Jesus has with the Sadducees and the connection that I feel out in nature, with the earth, and with my own experience of those who have died and gone before, have made me a believer in that mystical union, in that communion of the saints. And we have a taste of that communion in this life, in the way we're embodied in our sexuality, in our spirituality. We have a taste of that communion in this life, and it gives us a glimpse and a hunger for something more glorious to come. And in the meantime, the holy integration of our sexuality and our spirituality, it invites us to keep making the realm of heaven a reality in this life. And may it be so always, till the end of days. Amen.